Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Coming up on today's wrestling news, backstage chaos within WWE. The WWE talent have given their thoughts on Sasha Banks' reported release. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon have addressed the whole relationship status issue. And AJ Styles makes a special appearance at Impact Wrestling's Slammiversary pay-per-view over the weekend. I'm Adam Wilborn.
I'm Michael Hamflett.
And this is the news. Let's dive straight into it then, Hamflett. Talking all about the backstage chaos, understandably, within WWE following a tumultuous week, I think it is fair to say. Not just in terms of the whole Vince McMahon and situation and the Sasha Banks situation, but also because they haven't got a bloody clue what they're going to do this summer. Hence the report over the weekend coming out from Fightful Select that the original plan, of course, came down to Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton for SummerSlam, but due to Orton's injury, they had to change, and that is why Brock Lesnar suddenly returned on SmackDown on Friday night. Sorry, spoilers, it's Monday, come on. And according to Fightful, word of his return was only going around backstage at 5 p.m. on Friday. He wasn't listed in internal rundowns handed out just before SmackDown, so it was very much a last-minute thing. The thing is, that's not the only chaos going on within WWE right now, of course. In terms of the Sasha Banks situation, I'll give you WWE's talent's thoughts on that in a second. But also, according to PW Insider, and I've checked myself this morning, Sasha Banks still listed on the WWE roster. And Sheamus, talking to the Five Count radio show, seemed to suggest a change in his schedule going forward, maybe a bit of a lighter schedule for him. And he's been a sort of ever-reliant one for them, I assume, for live shows for many, many years. Is absolute carnage, understandably, within WWE right now.
Yeah, who is the wise man in WWE? Is it Paul Heyman or is it Sheamus? Because if I was in that locker room right now, I'd be looking to take as much time away from it as I possibly could. Fair play to them. When they can't manifest gripping drama in front of the camera, they'll do it behind the lens instead. What else could you expect? I think, like, for all that the, as you said, the news was tumultuous, the perfect word to describe last week, it was impossible for that ultimately not to be replicated backstage as well. There'd been reports on Friday that some talent, understandably so, weren't exactly enamoured with the idea of Vince McMahon putting himself on television. I bet they were absolutely buzzing when Brock Lesnar booted the door in at 5 p.m. that night. They were saying, thanks for the flight, guys. Just the chaos that you've come to expect from WWE when they're in a pinch now, which they are. The Randy Orton news, the confirmation of what we suspected about the Randy Orton news and the fact that he would have been the guy at SummerSlam had this latest injury not occurred. I think it was something that kind of, they booked it, to be fair. That's kind of led us in the direction to think it was going to be Orton. Maybe gave them no other option than Brock Lesnar. I think there's a couple of stories here. A lot of people have leapt to WWE's defence, say, well, who else was there but Brock, when a lot of other people said, Roman, Brock again. You've done it. It was clean. It was in the middle. It was finished. It was done. That, to me, washes away some other discussions that used to say that Roman Reigns isn't exactly the guy right now. Like, the Tribal Chief isn't exactly pulling up trees. I've no doubt this SmackDown will do a monster number, but we'll debate into the
great main event as well. His match with Riddle was sensational.
Absolutely tremendous. But it almost shows a lack of faith in him as their guy with the two belts, with all the sort of all the meat they've put behind him, that they need someone of a Brock Lesnar's level to be in this main event. Could they not trust Roman Reigns to elevate somebody else in mid-card, as indeed he did a bit Riddle on television over these last few months? Yeah, all is, well, all is theoretically not what it seems, and yet what it always is in WWE. John Laurinaitis also wasn't there.
Yeah.
But then I think it was Dave Meltzer that reported that he maybe wasn't scheduled to be there, and he expects him to be at Raw. So I just... It's great. It's fascinating. It's awful. It's all of these things.
Yeah, we'll
all
talk
of these things can be true.
We'll talk more about the Brock Lesnar situation on the SmackDown Review podcast, which you can get wherever you get your podcasts from. But very quickly, your thoughts on that opening promo from Vince?
Horrendous. Vince McMahon's a loser. Vince McMahon is a pathetic loser. And I'm on a video saying that now.
Let's move on, because Sasha Banks was reportedly released by WWE over the weekend, as reported by Phil and Gareth, and reported also by Andrew Pollard on Sunday. But, as I mentioned, she is still internally on the WWE roster, and backstage, despite the fact that it seems to be official, Fightful Select reporting that WWE wrestlers are now, quote, speaking openly backstage that she has left the company, even if WWE is yet to officially confirm the news. There was obviously the initial Raj Geary report, and if you were horrible to him on the internet, go and apologise, because he was vindicated, clearly, over the weekend. Banks, of course, not appearing on WWE television since May 16th, or ahead of the May 16th show, I should say, when her and Naomi handed the belts over, because WWE's booking's terrible. And you may have seen over the weekend, a Sasha Crew for Life banner was clipped, well, not clipped out, but was... So wiped clean. It was
you may
left
not
blank.
Have seen it if you read the images on .com.
It was left blank following Raquel Rodriguez's Money in the Bank win. Money in the Bank qualifying win that someone held up. So yeah, it would seem to lend credence to that report. And the mood backstage you sense would probably be just shock and disbelief that they've let someone like Sasha go.
Yeah, it's so odd this. Strictly speculative, obviously.
Yes.
With the likes of like the original report from Raj Geary, the WrestleVotes confirmation, and then like Sean Ross Sapp sounding like he's kind of been trying to be a bit of a beat reporter. He's working away at the story, trying to get the news. One can only speculate that this must be WWE as well trying to change that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is some push and pull between Sasha, her legal team, and WWE trying to solve this, trying to fix it. That's only my guesswork. It feels like there have been releases of stars, other stars, less complicated than this one, less dragged out than this one. If wrestlers backstage are obviously hearing what the rest of us are hearing, of course, you know, they would assume that all is finished, all is done. I don't know. I don't know if I want the end to this speculation. I personally, would quite like to see, now that it's been shown to us, maybe what Sasha could do outside of WWE. But then over the weekend, you reflect on maybe where they missed the boat with her, and you think, well, so much more could be done.
Yeah.
It's a really straight... Until I think, WWE.com confirm it, or Sasha herself says so, I don't think anyone quite knows how to feel about it.
I think WWE are trying to make it as difficult looking as possible to the rest of the talent to leave the company.
Yeah, that's a good take.
Because otherwise, there may be a major exodus. But
yeah. Make it
unless they make the decision, in which case there will be a major exodus, but on their terms.
Well, they've already publicly lambasted her and Naomi for their actions, you know. And when it comes to publicly lambasting company figures, I'm sure they will do that to further up the hierarchy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Should such a situation where lambasting it was necessary or occurred? Do we think? I don't know. Why not revisit other areas of the rest of the media to find their takes on it if you can? We've got some here.
Let's talk about CEO and interim CEO and interim chairwoman Stephanie McMahon and her situation relationship-wise with Triple H. Lots of speculation has been doing the rounds recently. A bit of a rumour killer on that from Wade Keller on the PW Torch audio show said there was conjecture that maybe there were marital issues that they were dealing with. I'm told that's just flat out not the case, and that they are a team. Obviously, you had the cardiac event with Triple H, then you had Stephanie announcing she was going to take some time off, spend some time with her family, and I think there were some images that did the rounds of her with not wearing a wedding ring or something like that. But nice to just put all this to bed for a day at least.
Yeah, this was sort of, not ugly speculation, but somewhat needless speculation.
Unimportant to me.
Yeah, not to put wrestling media on a pedestal, as we are part of it, compared to what you sometimes see in those tabloidy rags about where they put the circle of truth around a ring finger or something like that, or catching somebody just waking up first thing to put the rubbish out and being like, look at their haggard face.
Yeah.
But it was all a bit like tabloid raggy sort of reporting of what has hopefully proven to be a non-story. Obviously, if they've got things going on in their personal lives, then so be it. That will come out as and when. But the nature of the stories that were leading up to that were fairly rudderless.
Yeah.
And I think like Wade Keller, a fairly respected name in our industry at least, coming forward, Keller the Killer, like to just like put that one to bed for the time being, is probably quite well timed for Stephanie and Triple H too, considering the corporate shift.
Exactly.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, let's conclude by talking about Slammiversary that went down over the weekend. Was it 20th anniversary?
Yeah, 20 years to TNN
Impact. I'm told it was a very enjoyable show. I might have to watch that tonight from what everyone's been saying. There were some special guest appearances, including WWE's very own AJ Styles. He had a lovely moment. There was a video of him talking about his phenomenal, ironic, phenomenal past, of course, within the organisation. Some of his highlights, his peak moments between the years that he was there, between 2002 and 2013. He also had appearances from Sting, Kurt Angle, America's Most Wanted, James Storm, Chris Harris, Christy Emmy, Tracy Brooks, and D'Lo Brown, all making appearances on the show too. You were a bit of a fan of TNA back then, weren't you?
Yeah, this was, I think for a lot of people, judging online last night, Slammiversary seemed to get just right. The warmth of the nostalgic feelings towards TNA, regardless of what it is today as Impact Wrestling and how it's kind of gone about its own path, trying to like rebrand and reinvent itself time and time.
I quite like what they've done recently.
Yeah, like it gets a lot of praise heaped upon it. I can't pretend to watch Impact every week, but it was certainly one I wanted to tune into last night, and my nostalgic longings were served, and it was a nice window into like the current roster. AJ's message was really sweet. That was kind of the tone of everybody that got involved in the past. It was all very sweet. It was very loving. It was, for those that wanted to tune in and get something nice, they were actually giving it. We talked a lot about AEW. Mm. Just do nice things for your fan base. And Impact managed to do it last night. There was a special mention of Mike Tenay and Don West, who were very much like the original voices of a TNA that myself and others fell in love with. Don West obviously going through some terrible health trials at the moment. He's got a GoFundMe that they linked on the pay-per-view.
Oh, that's
so no doubt like driven, you know, lots of funds towards Don West as well. Every message, every tribute, every callback was just done with such love. There didn't seem to be any politics. Dixie Carter was on the show to announce the surprise member of the Impact team as the Impact Originals defeated like the Ring of Honor insurgent guys. Everything was just really sweet. Sometimes wrestling can be nice. It was all very nice to see.
Yeah, good to see, you know, them allowing the likes of Kurt Angle, Sting, I should say, from AEW, and AJ Styles from WWE.
AJ Styles made a point to thank WWE for letting him do it on account of how important it was to him.
Yeah.
Now, we never know how true all that stuff is, but, like, why not just believe it in the night?
Exactly. Good stuff. If you want to know more information about it, check out whatculture.com. We'll write us all about that. And we'll move on to your Twitter questions at WhatCultureWWE. First question today says from Alan Buello. Alan. Right, good morning, King of the Mic. And Phil Chambers. You look different. What do you guys think of having Seth come out to Cody's theme song with a Cody-style attire at Money in the Bank?
I love it. I didn't think about it until right now.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it. Like, Seth wears suits far more outlandish than anything Cody's ever worn. But the idea of him getting all that pyro as well. And like he wears the long trunks as it is.
Yeah.
I love absolutely every bit of that.
Bit of paint on his shoulder.
The blonde hair again for one night. Paint on his shoulder, a Seth Rollins logo neck tattoo. We've worked ourselves into a shoot here. That idea is too good. That can't happen because it's too good.
Great shout that, Anna. I really like it. And Seth's not, it sounds harsh to say, one of the best things about Seth Rollins right now is his different attires.
Yeah.
He's been phenomenal in the ring this year as well.
Unbelievable, yeah.
But also, he's really hit into, I'm going to wear the dusty spots.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You son of a bitch.
What a reveal. The reveal that nobody will ever remember but was almost as good as Cody's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Second question today comes from Gutierrez from Costa Rica, who says, is Sasha the one that ends Jade's streak in around 88 to 89 days? Greetings from Costa Rica. Hello to everyone in Costa Rica if they are watching this news, of course. If they're not, get them on it. What do you reckon? Could Sasha or Mercedes or Sasha Boss or Mercedes Banks or whatever they're going to be calling her, could she be the one to break Jade's streak?
Yeah, I'd go for Mercedes Blueprint over Jade Cargill, definitely. I'd go for her over Jade Cargill or Thunder Rosa. We talked a little bit about Sasha Banks' potential outside of WWE on her various podcasts that you can find wherever you get them. And ultimately, as much as AEW has kind of developed a reputation for signing ex-WWE guys, this one feels a little different.
Case-by-case basis, isn't it?
It is, and they just simply haven't got the depth and stock in the women's division like they do in the men's currently. She's the woman, WWE, who you build your division around, like, over and over and over again. So if AEW had the opportunity to do that with either belt, they'd be mad not to. The Jade match is money. Like, if that was going to be Sasha's in-ring debut, you put that on a pay-per-view.
Mm.
Like, Sasha Banks stopping Jade Cargill, especially with the size difference between the two, and Sasha disposing of the baddies or whatever it is, that is a pay-per-view spectacle. And look, and Jade Cargill is far better than the example I'm about to use, by the way, but look what Sasha did for Reggie in an empty Thunderdome. Jade Cargill can absolutely go, but like,
She looked a lot better against Willow Nightingale, didn't she?
Imagine the chemistry those two would have. And like the match quality that Sasha could help Jade Cargill achieve.
Not to dismiss this and be like, hey, what about the guys involved in all this, right? But can you imagine the build to that? Sasha Banks with a live mic saying whatever she wants. And Stokely bloody Hathaway going at it. Like, not to be like, anyway, maybe they'll give the women more time if that happens.
Yeah.
Just like, a thought rather than that gap in the second hour.
That's it, finally starting the things that aren't just associated with the last quarter hour.
Women in the first hour of Dynamite! Third question today comes from Iron, who writes, morning legends, considering the insane events that have happened so far, a bit of a mad year, isn't it? Yeah. The fact that we are on the verge of an AEW New Japan pay-per-view and the year is only halfway done, what is your most off-the-wall prediction for pro wrestling in the second half of 2022?
Right, well, I can't have Jeff Jarrett takes most senior role in WWE because...
That's not off the wall.
It's not off the wall enough now, is it? Certainly not.
It's less off the wall and more on the board for WWE.
I am old enough to remember in the year 2000 when WWE was soaring and WCW was on this steep, steep decline.
I remember.
It was around September, October time that there was these crazy rumours that Vince McMahon was actually sniffing around trying to buy WCW, and then that got just washed away. And then it didn't happen, of course, until it happened the following March. What I'm suggesting is that this year, maybe by September, October time, I will let you decide which Khan suggests that he's going to table an offer to purchase WWE outright. Now, it's not going to happen until March, obviously, right around WrestleMania season. The name on the contract does say Khan. But last week...
Tony versus Nick for the company.
Amidst the furore of the Vince McMahon story breaking, immediately, everybody thought, well, we're not dealing with, like, no disrespect, a TNA, or even at the time, a WCW or an ECW. We're dealing with another billionaire.
Yeah.
Like, it's off the wall, but that was the remit, wasn't it?
Do you know what? I was thinking about this, because I'm under a lot of pressure here, because, you know, I've never got a prediction wrong.
So
they want something really outlandish. So my brain automatically went to manifesting Sami Zayn winning Money in the Bank, which I've got 4 days to hold on to until Shinsuke inevitably rolls him up and I go, well, they've ruined that.
Guess he's running on the night.
So my outlandish wrestling prediction, especially because what we just reported with Roman and Brock and what have you, and then being like, what are we going to do? Pat McAfee fights Roman Reigns this year.
No, my God.
That, also something I'd really like to see.
Title change?
Potentially.
Does that mean Roman
moves? Seven Nation Army enough? My God. Remember that Mania?
Roman moves exclusively to
what was that, day two?
Yeah.
Night two.
One of the only good things, isn't it, when you hoof that ball in the crowd? Roman moves exclusively to Raw, and it's a Survivor Series battle for brand supremacy. Yeah. Roman versus a SmackDown commentator.
Get all the American football players doing running, taking out no soul.
He's already got the red
Gronk's blue. Back! Coming down the ramp. I missed him. Do you remember that entrance?
Remember when Vince told him how to die?
Is how you fall. Right, let's move on to today's and finally. And I just saw this, and it's not really topical specifically today, but I thought it was worthy of mention, especially with you being on the news.
Okay.
WWE just posting, John Cena has granted more wishes via Make-A-Wish than any other celebrity in history. Hashtag Cena Month. Over 650 wishes granted. A lovely image of him hugging a child. And I know you and I were really touched by that stuff they shared with Misha, the Ukrainian boy.
650?
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing. Like, we can't give
John Cena... I feel bad for slagging him off back in the day now.
Sometimes his matches aren't great. Sometimes his promos are absolutely, like, excruciating.
Yeah.
But there's also, like, a man that takes that side of this job incredibly seriously. And it's amazing to see. 651 when he gives Austin Theory a genuinely decent match. Fair play.
Yes. Go and give him some love. Go and give everyone some love on social media today. And let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comment section below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe, as I said earlier, to What Culture Wrestling, to wherever you get your podcast from for daily wrestling podcasts. Me and Hamlet are going to be reviewing SmackDown. Me and Sidgy, we're going to be reviewing Rampage, and then we're all going to be looking ahead to Monday Night Raw a little bit later on today. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts on Twitter questions at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, follow both of us. Follow Michael Hamlet at
Michael Hamlet.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Michael Hamlet. Thank you for joining us. And remember, then, now, forever, together. Thanks for watching. We'll see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.